Hi, everyone. My name is Kathy. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from seeking approval from others and control. If you pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for your love and your patience in my life. I am so humbled daily by all the provision you have given me. Lord, calm my nerves while I share tonight. I just pray that you are glorified through my story and that your truth will be heard by those that you plan to speak to their hearts tonight. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. I have lived a life believing that I was defined by what other people thought of me. With this guiding force, I learned to perform well and achieve much, but this resulted in a daily attempt to control myself, my circumstances, and the people in my life. My attempt to control everything was tedious, stressful, and it left me with fear and anxiety if things didn't turn out the way I intended. As far back as I can remember, I felt different than everyone else. I felt like I was less pretty, less funny, less outgoing, less athletic, less confident, less creative. I felt less valuable, and therefore I felt less lovable. So I learned to perform. I could be funnier, I could act more outgoing, I could act more confident. But by being a chameleon, I learned how to get praise, attention, and approval. Each season of my life looked different, but I believed that if I tried harder, I would be accepted and loved. Yet no matter what I did, I never truly felt loved or accepted. All I gained was feeling more insecure, a loss of identity, and a lot of sinful behavior. I was raised in a family of four with both parents and a younger brother. My family always had an unspoken rule that there was a, quote, right way to do things. How we should live was very black and white. The standard was primarily set by my father. Within this environment, I learned early how to meet standards and gain approval. I excelled at school, and I developed a deep desire to be good and do good. But I never felt good enough, and I did not feel like I fit in with kids my age. I learned to compensate by being a follower. In high school, I started seeking attention from boys. As a follower, I watched others and I went along with the crowd. I started drinking, and I found that alcohol gave me a false sense of ease and comfort. When I was 14, I gained the attention of some guys in college that lived across the street. A few months later, at the age of 15, I lost my virginity to a 21-year-old man. I gave consent to have sex, but it marred my view of sex and it damaged my understanding of love. For years, I lived in a fantasy that this man loved me and would marry me one day. I rationalized his reasons for why we could not be seen in public and for why he said he couldn't be my boyfriend. I believed he loved me, but he simply wooed me and had sex with me behind closed doors for most of my high school years. I formed a belief that sex equals love, and I continued promiscuous behavior for many years after that. I knew my promiscuity was wrong. It always left me feeling empty and worthless and full of guilt and shame. College and adulthood was marked by a similar theme of seeking approval through accomplishment and dating relationships. I looked successful and happy, but underneath I just felt like a failure, and I worried that people would eventually see the real me. In dating relationships, my chameleon behavior flourished, and I found that I could be any type of person. I could like health and exercise, sports, fast cars, outdoors, whatever. I rationalized that my flexibility was good and that I was just a low-maintenance girl. The truth is that I just lost my identity in the approval of other people. In my mid-30s, I was engaged and living with a boyfriend. I thought I had what I wanted, but happiness, joy, and peace was fleeting. During this season, a friend pointed me to Christ and encouraged me to get connected to a church, and it was at that time I started going to Watermark. I broke off the engagement, and I rearranged my priorities. I started seeking the Lord in my daily life through reading my Bible. I joined a community group, and I participated in women's Bible studies, and I made a commitment to remain pure until marriage. This was a sweet time in my life, and I was happier than ever before. Several years later, I met my soon-to-be husband. In our dating relationship, little by little, I slipped away from the activities that kept me connected to the Lord. My focus became our relationship, and my old behaviors resurfaced, and I just began making choices that would maintain the relationship. Our relationship was not healthy. We did not seek the Lord. We had a lot of conflict. We lacked the ability to communicate well, and we did not maintain sexual boundaries. After a tumultuous two-year dating relationship, we married in June 2014. 4 months into marriage, I found myself miserable and unhappy. I was scared and I felt controlled and was paralyzed by my husband's anger. After a night of particularly bad conflict and seeing a fit of rage, my husband confessed an addiction that I had not known about. I was angry, sad, overwhelmed, and scared. I felt alone and I questioned how I had arrived at this place in my life. I had believed that if my husband's behavior was bad, that meant my marriage was bad, which then meant I was bad. My idol of marriage had failed me. I cried out to God and I begged him for help. I didn't know how to be me in this marriage, and I begged him to help me not lose myself. I begged to understand why this was happening. And then I recalled exactly how I arrived at this place. I lived my life clinging to others to find my value. I performed and managed what others thought of me. Shame enveloped me as I realized I was just a fake. Out of pure fear and desperation, a couple weeks later, I walked into Regeneration. I didn't know what to expect my first night at Regen, but it didn't matter. I was at the end of my rope, and I had to figure something out, or my life and this girl named Kathy was just going to disappear. I was willing to try anything. It was at this point that the Lord began a work in my heart. By the time I made it into a small group, a step group, I had separated from my husband. My fear of losing myself in what I perceived as a controlling environment had won the battle. My fears had become deafening and paralyzing. I felt like I couldn't breathe or think. The pressure overwhelmed me. I knew I was going to come back, but I just didn't know when. Separation was not God's design. This was very hurtful to my husband and damaging to my marriage, but at the time I was broken and I just didn't see any other options. Steps 2 through 3 were the powerful foundation for the changes in my heart. I learned that I had a warped view of God and subsequently a warped view of myself. I saw God as big and distant, a God that judged and condemned. I believed I needed to earn his approval and love. Because I believed you are what you do, I thought God was disappointed and ashamed of me. I believed that I had missed God's plan A for my life. Instead, I got plan B. I could not have been more wrong. In step 2, I came to understand the true character of God. I learned that he is holy. He is absolute moral perfection. I learned that in his holiness, his love is perfect. His perfect love does not judge, condemn, or shame me. I learned that he created me in his image and he has a plan for my life. I began to understand and believe that in God's holiness, his perfect love and restoration was not going to miss me. My heart softened and I understood that it was not me that he disliked, but rather the sin in my life because it separated me from him. In step 3, I learned that I had trusted my provision instead of God's provision. I trusted my wisdom, protection, and my own understanding. I trusted man's opinion of myself over God's and my plans over God's plans. At the age of 9, I learned about Jesus, the Son of God, and prayed for him to be my Savior. While I understood that believing in Jesus was the one way for salvation, I did not understand how to have a relationship with him or allow him to be the Lord of my life. In step 3, I was able to more clearly see God's love and desire for a relationship with me. I embraced the extent of his love that while I was a sinner, God gave his son Jesus to die for my sins. I realized my standards to be good were far below God's standards, and even if I could meet my standards, I would never meet God's. I was humbled to understand God's love despite my sin and failure. This gave me courage to trust his character and his plan for my life. In step 3, I made a decision to trust Christ with my fears of being inadequate, unlovable, and being rejected. I made a decision to trust Christ with my shame for my past sins, relying on others' opinion of me over his, and managing my image by controlling situations. Steps 1 through 3 were critical in giving me eyes to see that I was living as my own God. When I started trusting God more than myself, that's when my life began to change. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." About 6 weeks later, I had a big opportunity to choose God's way over my way. Christ gently nudged me that I was to return home to my marriage. I tried to ignore the nudge, but God and his faithfulness did not stop. He reminded me of my decision to trust his ways over mine. In his grace, he filled my heart with reminders of his perfect love and his will in my life. By God's grace alone, I had the courage to re-enter my marriage 4 months after I left. The day I was driving home is imprinted on my heart. Partway home, I got scared. I began to pray, not a nice quiet prayer, but a screaming prayer. Lord, I'm scared. I want to turn around. Please show up for me. I prayed and I screamed and I kicked my feet on the floorboard like a bratty five-year-old. It was ugly, but it was real, and God could handle it. This was a defining moment in my relationship with the Lord. As I walked through major fear on faith in God alone, life back inside my marriage wasn't perfect, and it was still difficult, but I felt different. I saw things differently, and I responded differently. But most important, I felt God with me. He showed up, and he has never left. I believe that God was showing me how much he loves me. Experiencing his love was humbling because I didn't deserve it. My faith grew that day. In step 5, through confession of my hurts, God began healing my heart by reminding me that I am not defined by hurts to me and that he can and will use those for good. Some sinful patterns in my life were reactions from hurts. Confession brought freedom from shame that I carried from past sexual sin. Hidden sin had kept me in bondage and allowed Satan to lie about my worth. My confessions to others were met with love and understanding, and I felt the Lord once again affirming his love for me. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Step 8, forgiveness, was also very freeing for me. I was using bitterness and resentment from hurts as a form of control. Walking through the process of true biblical forgiveness, I chose to release my claims to justice to God and let go of my right to hold others' sin against them. I found freedom from hurts and no longer felt connected to the harm done to me. This quickly allowed me to see my sinful reactions as my own, and I could no longer justify my anger, criticism, and withdrawal. Today, I know that God loves me more than I can comprehend. I know that there is nothing I can do to make him love me more and nothing I can do to make him love me less. Because of Jesus' gift, I have received all the approval I need. Because of Jesus' spirit in my heart, I have less desire for approval outside of God. Today, I experience God's love daily by the grace he extends to me. He is faithful and he is patient with me. I am selfish, I'm prideful, and I'm stubborn, but in his grace, he gently helps me see when I am serving myself instead of serving Christ and others. He allows me to go my own way, but he's always there when I realize I've wandered. He has surrounded me with community that seeks to follow Christ, and he has gifted me with a husband that loves me and is my lifetime partner as Christ grows both of us. The Lord has taught me that I will have troubles and I'm going to get hurt. In his kindness, he reminds me that a bad circumstance does not define my worth. It's simply a bad circumstance. He hasn't changed, and who I am in Christ hasn't changed. My security in this truth helps me anchor my worth to him rather than my circumstances. With him as my anchor, I more frequently respond to challenging circumstances with hope. This truth has had a positive impact in my marriage. While I still struggle with my marriage being an idol, I am better able to see our adversity and challenges as opportunities for growth. I am learning not to put a box around God, acting like I know why things happen or that I know how to manage it. In this season of our marriage, I am learning to manage less and pray more. God's hand is so much more visible when I can humble myself enough to sit at the sidelines. The Lord has given me reassurance that I have a voice, even when it's best for me to be silent. He gently reminds me that I'm not the Holy Spirit of the house, and I do not have to have a voice. I do not have to always voice every opinion. The Lord has given me a security that has lessened my need for validation. In my relationships, I'm quicker to forgive. Previously, resentment held a false sense of power. Today, the weight of resentment feels convicting. I may not always be quick to forgive, but I am quick to pray for humility to do so. The Lord is faithful to remind me that everyone is broken, and others' brokenness is not connected to my worth. Most of my unforgiveness is rooted in pride and is still trying to secure my worth. Once I can disconnect my worth from someone else's sin, obedience to forgive comes easier. God has blessed me so much with this spiritual discipline. It seems hard to do, but it blesses me the most. a weight is released, then the blessing comes when I can then see my sin. In the past, I would experience shame and condemnation when recognizing sin. Today, I see this as God's grace in my life. God has given me the opportunity to see my sin, own it, and then clean up my side of the street. This is a gift of freedom. Today, I know I have a purpose. I have lived the majority of my life serving myself. It was all about me. About a year and a half ago, during my first inventory, I began to realize the selfish condition of my heart, and it made me sad. I began praying for the promise of Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God has been faithful. I still struggle with pride and selfishness, but God has given me a new heart. I see people in new ways now. I see struggles, hurt, and suffering like I never saw before, and my heart aches and weeps now. I am drawn to women who are hurting, and I want them to know that Jesus loves them and will fill their ache and emptiness. Previously, I would choose service opportunities that felt safe and easy, and I did so to check a box. Today, I step forward to love women even when I don't think I can do it well. Having no experience with pregnancy or abortion, I stepped forward and have been volunteering at Thrive Women Clinic. Satan told me I didn't know enough. God reminded me that I know the love of Jesus, and that's all the knowledge that I need to serve a hurting woman. I am blessed by every opportunity I have to serve a woman in this clinic. 2 years in a row, I considered serving at Watermark's Day of Beauty for Women called GLOW, but I was only going to do it if a friend would sign up with me. I didn't serve either one of those years. This year, I didn't hesitate to sign up. I was so blessed by this opportunity to serve and love a woman for the day. And last but not least, I've been blessed by the opportunity to love and watch 15 amazing women grow in the Lord as I co-led a small group here at Regen. If I could tell you one thing tonight, I would reassure you that you are not here by mistake. God loves you more than you can imagine, and He has a plan for your life. Keep coming, keep doing the work, and push through the times that feel difficult. I promise it is all part of His plan, and His plan is perfect.